Good afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch.
Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Etan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Primetime with your host, The Fetch.
All right, everybody. Skype is updated here. But anyways, from Amman Jordan, this is The Fetch, and you are listening to Inside the Eye Live Primetime. Today's date is Thursday, January the 11th, 2018, and a good Thursday afternoon to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late evening to early morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. Now, what's happened here is we have gotten apparently a new Skype update. And for the life of me, I don't know where to go to call. Okay, I don't know where or even if we are even connected. I'm looking for how to see everything here. And I'm not even sure we're connected, everybody. So in the chat room, I'm not there yet. I'm going to head there now. Inside the Eye Live. I tell you, Skype has become so annoying. InsideTheEyeLive.com/live chat. And guys in the chat room, let me know how I sound here because we are trying to get things working and everything is going out through the wrong channels here. So again, I'm not sure everything is working okay. But let me know. I think right now maybe this is working. Time out. No, that doesn't sound good. And let's see here. Anyways, guys, let me know in the chat room if everything is working okay. It sounds like now we may have cleared things up a little bit and gotten everything to go through the right channels here. So that's peaking too much. Just bear with me, everybody. It's just a brand new Skype update. And I didn't realize it updated, and as I logged in just before the show, I was surprised to see everything has changed quite a bit. So again, I'm not sure exactly what's going on with Skype. I'm going to have to study. Okay, good. I see something here. It says sounds good. Okay, good is great, as great is good. So okay, everybody, welcome. All right, so we're going to move forward here. Everything sounds good. Let me just kind of tune everything down here. I think that should be about right. All right, anyways, we are coming to you from Amman, Jordan. The weather here in Amman today was, considering we really are into the deepest part of winter now, where it's usually getting to be some of the coldest weather, is quite nice. You know, we had a daytime high today of about 62 degrees, but as long as you were not in the shade, it was quite warm. I mean, the sun gave off some pretty nice radiance as it, you know, basically passed through what was generally partly cloudy skies, but largely not so much partly cloudy. It was more full sunshine today, clear skies, as they say, but we did have some partly cloudy skies. Now, winds have been a mild 7 miles per hour out of the west-northwest, while the current temperatures have been, I think current temperature right now is about 48 degrees, and that is about 1 o'clock in the morning here, local time. And we will be going down to about 41 degrees in the hour before sunrise. Here in Oman, of course, we are, again, on the Islamic calendar. And that is telling you that we are at the start of our weekend. That's right. St. Mary sounds better. Unfortunately, I've had a split with Mary, everybody. We've had some problem with political correctness and a lot of other issues. So for those of you who liked Mary, she did a great job for us on the soundbite. But I'll tell you what, to deal with a day in and day out just wasn't going to work for me. So there's been a major split, folks. She will not be back at all. I suspect, even though she has a wonderful voice for the radio, but there's just dealing with it on a day in and day out basis, which you guys didn't have to do. Well, you know, I'm a little bit too old to be dealing with some of the things I was listening to. So, folks, I'm sorry for that. But no, Mary will not be back, even though she really, really was a great person to have around around on the radio. She was a fun person to have around for sure, but that's the business. Anyways, moving on. It's not know if you saw some of the weather coming out last week, just past the past weekend, January the 7th. There was actually a snowstorm in one of the hottest places on Earth, and it blanketed some of the Sahara Desert north of the Algerian city of Ain Sefra. And while snow is a pretty rare occurrence there in this desert area, there was a similar snowstorm that happened last year. I think we reported on it. And again, it happened, December of last year. And then before that, I think 2012, there was another snowfall in the region. And then the last one before that was recorded was in February 1979. So the desert did see its snow, you know, saw the snow. The snow fell. I don't know how to word that properly as I translate from what I'm reading on the paper here. But there was, as we talked last week, there was a big snowstorm blowing through the Alps in the northern part of Italy. And some of that cold air made its way south down on into the Sahara Desert and around the Algerian area. And that resulted in, I have no idea what's going on here. I'm getting all kinds of stuff here pinging me from left and right. But okay, I got some people saying, okay, you guys are crazy. You know, you're going to get me in trouble here. Okay, you know what? I'll tell you what. I got a lot of nice comments coming in about Mary and the sound bites that she did for us. And one of those says here that she can eat matzo crackers in my bed anytime. And I'll tell you what, that might be not a bad thing, everybody. If you like the matzo balls, you might actually find that enjoyable. But that's the way it goes once again. You know, there's a issue coming out of Santa Barbara. You know, as to many of you know, I'm from the LA area. And this past Thursday, actually today, there's a big landslide, mudslide, as we call them back there. It's a landslide, but it's really a mudslide. Some 700 rescue workers are in helicopters and high-wheeled military vehicles and wading through pretty much waist-deep mud in a hunt for some missing people. There's some 17 people who have died in what was Tuesday's disaster. The focus is still on search and rescue. That's the primary goal, according to Amber Anderson, a spokeswoman for the Santa Barbara County Fire Department. And that was in a phone interview. And she added that searchers have been working 24/7 or 24 hours a day, really. And the dead included so far an elderly woman killed when the mud crashed away her house. Basically, from what it looks here, that the deadly floods have destroyed another 100 homes and injured at least 28 people. And that is according to officials. So I'll tell you, with all the fires that we had been talking about in Santa Barbara, that area, the Ventura, Santa Barbara area, if you're familiar with California as I am, usually what would happen is we would have a lot of heavy damage from fires, brush fires in the September, October time of year. And that would denude a lot of the hills and that would find itself being pummeled when the rains would come down. If you had heavy torrential rain, it would just break away. The soil in California is not very, it's more like sandstone. It's not, it's not firm like granite or anything like that, at least along the coastline. It's a lot of very soft type of hills and, you know, basically sandstoned and other type of soft sedimentary type of geology there. So there's not a whole lot holding back these hills aside from the brush and the branch, not the branches, but the roots that keep everything, you know, kind of like firm down. And without the brush to help hold the hillsides together, you end up, plus with the torrential water just going through now because they're denuded, you end up with quite a lot of problems with mudslides. And it's something that, you know, if you're familiar with California, it's something that they, you know, you have to deal with year in and year out, quite frankly. But this year, I'll tell you, with all the major fires out there, to see 100 more additional homes destroyed, that's a pretty impressive number. And you got to feel for the people, again, who've already probably been through somewhat of a problem out there, and now they got to deal with additional problem. I got a story here, a couple issues. You know, what's floating around in America right now, and it's an issue throughout the West, is this idea of demographics. And with demographics, what we're really talking about is the ability to control voting blocks, to the ability to control the political direction of your country. Now, the way it's controlled pretty much the world over is nobody but the ethnic majority is ever granted a right to vote. For instance, if I were to get married to a Chinese gal, and I actually did, when she came to America, she was able to get, actually she was already in America, she was a student at the time. But when she was here, she, by virtue of marrying an American citizen, we could apply for citizenship for her. She was allowed to vote. She was allowed to then go get a job once her green card showed up. She was allowed to integrate into the American economy. Now, if you were to reverse the process and I were to actually go to China and I were to marry a Chinese woman inside of China, even if I was currently working in China, let's say I had a work visa as a teacher or an advertising guy or something like that, just any type of job in China that I had been granted a visa for, the second that I would get married to a Chinese woman inside of China, I would absolutely lose 100% of my rights to work in China. See, that's how a lot of the countries around the world work. And for American citizens, you really need to wake up to the reality of how the world works. Stop being, if you're not traveled, stop being stupid, basically. Get out there and see what's going on. Here in Jordan, for instance, there's major sweeps of all the ethnic makeups here. I don't care if you're Philippine, Nepal, India, Egypt, Syria. Daily there are daily there are police in force stopping cars, stopping taxis, just stopping people walking on the street, asking for identification, make sure their papers are in order, and if they are not, they are immediately taken into custody and they can find themselves in jail for X amount of time, and they will eventually be deported. Now, that is the case throughout the Middle East. It is true in Saudi Arabia, which saw its new immigration laws resulted in something like 2.5 million people repatriating themselves back to their countries voluntarily. And so far this year, and remember, we're just getting started, everybody, some 200,000 people have already been arrested and are now awaiting deportation to their nations. Add to all of these deportations, which helps the job market, and I got a story about the job market in Saudi that you might find interesting in a bit here, but they are using like old universities, actually not old, but brand new universities that have never been opened yet as holding pins for these massive numbers of people. Now, in America, we have a story, let's say, with ICE. You know, America has something like 20, probably 25 million illegal people. The Democrats in America are essentially your degenerate, lesbian, gay, transgender, people of color political party. They've gone on record recently, and it's hard to believe, but they have actually done this. And they basically said keeping white people out of the Democratic Party is a party priority. They are looking essentially to have Jewish leadership, lesbian, gay, transgender activists, people of color, and new illegal to legal amnesty type of immigrants become part of this party. Now, when you're talking about economics, when you're talking about political stability of a country, you need not look much further than what's happening in South Africa to understand that you simply cannot give your country over voluntarily to a hostile political force. Now, in the United States and the UK and in Canada and pretty much the entire West, we have, without a doubt, a hostile political force. And this force simply does not care about you whatsoever. These guys are interested in one thing and one thing only, and that is to submerge Western civilization under a sea of diversity. And this diversity does not help your nations. Look, if you look at what's going on in Germany right now or in Sweden and even the United States, Canada, much of this diversity has absolutely no interest in integrating into your way of life. You know, they often talk about how America is a land of immigrants. But what they don't tell you is that traditionally, up until 1965, America was a land of European immigrants. It wasn't a land of South and Central America immigrants. It wasn't a land of Somalian immigrants. It wasn't a land of people coming from other nations in Africa. It never was that. Yet they want to just kind of like smooth over the reality of what is happening. Look, this is a pure demographics ploy. And we must understand that there is, without a doubt, a very hostile elite operating inside of the United States. It is a foreign element, and it is, well, I guess we could just leave that. It is a foreign element. Now, here's Chuck Schumer. I got a little thing about Chuck Schumer. Now, Chuck Schumer was talking to an Israeli group, Jewish group. Well, to me, there's no difference between an Israeli and a Jewish group. And this is Chuck Schumer speaking on American soil to a particular Jewish group in America. Now, I don't know how you can listen to Chuck Schumer and not understand that what we have here is a traitor to the American people. How can you sit there and be within key elements of the United States government inside of the Senate, and the very first thing you want to tell everybody when you're talking with your Jewish friends is you look out and you guard and you make sure that Israel is taken care of first and foremost? This is a very critical point here, because a lot of us are often accused of being quote-unquote anti-Semites because we raise the issue that far too many Jews put Israel above and beyond the interests of the American people. Now, why should you, as an American citizen, as a UK citizen, as a German citizen, why should any of us put the interests of a foreign state, a criminal state by many standards, such as Israel, onto a par of our own nations and our own national interests? And why should we not be looking out and purging, or worse, those traitors within our nations who are working overtime to ensure that the interests of the state of Israel come first and foremost above that of their host nations? This isn't anti-Semitism, folks. And if it is anti-Semitism, we don't need less anti-Semitism. We need more. In fact, the entire nation should become, quote unquote, anti-Semitic if this is what it means to be anti-Semitic. You see, They put out a lot of these buzz phrases that you just buy into and you just put your own and attach your own meaning to it. One of those is this week they've started the We Remember week on Twitter or some stupid thing like that. And you buy into it what you want. What do you remember? I mean, do you remember the fact that Jews killed 66 million Russians, Orthodox Christians? Do you remember that Jews were behind the Armenian Holocaust? Do you remember that Jews were behind the sinking or the near sinking of the USS Liberty? Do you remember that it was clear that Jewish elites played a leading role in the attack on the United States called 9/11? I mean, what is it that you remember? See, every time you want to start to buy into these political phrases, be sure what it is you are vesting your mind and powers, let's say your mental imagery, into these phrases. See, too often we've heard these weaponized words used against we, the American, and we, Western civilization people. And we have allowed it to affect us. And this is, this is something that, quite frankly, we must stop. We must stop doing, I should say. Now, there's another point here, is that we understand very clear that the Kudinov-Kalergi plan, and that's a plan that, if you're not familiar with it, is the planned destruction of Western Europe through massive immigration. This is a plan that's been started long before even World War II started, back really first floated in the 1920s by Kudinov-Kalergi. And in this plan, you're talking about massive destruction. I'm talking about genocide of Western European nations through, again, this mass immigration. Now, if you go to the island of Lesbos, for instance, and that is off the mainland of Greece, and it's Greek territory. It is basically an island that's used as a staging ground for moving immigrants into Europe. Where you're going to find there, or what you will find there, are a lot of Jewish NGOs who are spearheading the efforts to bring all of these refugees. And they're not refugees. They're economic migrants, really. And you're aiding and abetting that to come into Europe. Now, we have a case now in the United States, and Tucker Carlson, he's a guy on Fox News and probably one of the more lucid on the immigration issue in the United States. He tweeted out that there's a federal judge is blocking the deportation of more than 1,400 Iraqis who have committed crimes, including murder, rape, and kidnapping here in the United States. Not content with that, he may now force ICE officials to put them back onto the street. And that was a story coming out of the Detroit News. Well, when you look at just who this judge is, see, Tucker Carlson just says there's a federal judge. It's not just a federal judge. It is a Jewish guy. His name is Mark Goldsmith. He is a B'nai B'rith Anti-Defamation League Regional Advisory Board member. He's a former board member of the Beth Shalom Synagogue. He is the executive vice president former board member as the executive vice president for the Beth Shalom Synagogue. And he's been seen making what could only be seen as hyper-racist, hyper-Jewish supremacist speeches out there with YouTube. Folks, this is what we mean by a hostile elite. This is what we mean by being clear on who and where and what your enemy is up to. Look, if you are unhappy with the direction of your nation, you should start to look at what other nations are doing. Japan does not have the major problems that the United States has. Hi, everybody. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. Back with more right after this.
All right, everybody, welcome back. I think we got all the settings arranged now, folks. Fortunately, we're working with good equipment here. But Skype likes to tune their own way, and I think we're doing okay now. I think we got everything back up and organized. But it is The Fetch, Inside the Eye, live prime time. Today's date is January the 11th, 2018. A good Thursday afternoon to really early evening now to everybody listening out there in the United States and Canada. So, again, happy to have you here on a prime time Thursday afternoon. And what can I say? It's cold here in Amman, but nothing like what you're getting there in the East Coast of the United States. My house is somewhat cold, but I've got these space heaters, and for whatever reason, I turn them up, and they kind of like make things a little bit frosty and toasty, and I'm comfortable, and I move on forward with the evening. And but, you know, you're burning up a lot of propane, and you're smoking up a little – you use a little bit of propane-filled fumes here. But I do keep the house generally open here. And, you know, you want to be careful with the carbon monoxide poisoning, depending on how you're keeping your house warm, everybody. Definitely you're going to want to be careful with all that. Now, this is listener-sponsored and supported radio. It does rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. Just want to say thanks again to everybody that does support the show. And please continue to do so. And if you haven't thought about supporting the show yet, what you can do is make your way over to revolution.radio. That's right, revolution.radio. I'm going to go there now just so I can have a peek. Revolution.radio. And while you're there, there is a funding page. You can click on the funding page. There's Revolution Radio funding. It looks like swag, which are some gifts. It says swag. Is that swag or swag? It should be swag. Yeah, it's swag. My eyes are just bad. The seed bank, and there's advertising. Folks, whatever you can do, again, make the donation on behalf of Inside the Eye Live and Inside the Eye Live Primetime. Again, we would really like to get, our goal is about 100 people that can put in $3 to $4 per month on a monthly recurring. That'll bring in $300-$400 a month on behalf of Inside the Eye Live. That more than covers our 180th of the network. And the reason why we are asking for more than 180th of the network, everybody, is because we are one of the flagship shows here. And so therefore we ought to do what we can to support the network. As long as I am here, let's support the network and do what we can to obviously keep the goal of $2,725, at least a proportion of that coming from Inside the Eye Live. The rest of it, don't worry about, folks. We are here to serve you. The network is very supportive of Inside the Eye Live and Inside the Eye Live Primetime. So believe me, you're getting your money's worth if you're spending that $3 and helping somebody else sponsor if they are not able to. So do what you can. Now, this is the time of show now that we normally have the Cat Report. Now, the Cat Report has traditionally been sponsored by Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club and North Kakalaki Trading Post, which would be Good Services and Solutions. Now, what we did the start of this year is we've broken up the Cat Report sponsorship. And so what's going to happen now is the Thursday night primetime show. The sponsorship is now open. It's available. If anybody would like to sponsor the Inside the Eye Live primetime Cat Report, just send me an email to thefetch@InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's right, The Fetch at Inside the Eye Live, InsideTheEyeLive.com, and you can sponsor the Cat Report. But the Cat Report, right now, it's a we got one eye and Bruiser, as you know, here in Amman, and I'll tell you what, I've been really enjoying myself because I've had the cats here. Now, one eye is, well, let me start with Bruiser. Bruiser, I'm soft, okay? So the cats like to spend time with me, and I like to spend time with the cats. Why else have them, right? So Bruiser has been allowed to come sleep with me in the bed and just kind of like keep my neck warm and keep my head warm. Sometimes he's sleeping up on top of the pillow by my head. He keeps my head warm. But he's really been enjoying himself, but he still has his bathroom problem. And so he was basically kicked out of the bedrooms and the front part of the house again by the girls. Now, they said, Dennis, shut the door when you go to bed so he can't come in. And I swear you should have heard him screaming the other night, like, come on, let me in. It's not fair that you guys are sleeping and you're not letting me in. He finally pushed the door open, made his way through, got in the door. But he's just such a sweetheart for a blind little cat. And then One Eye last night was so sweet. He went into the bedroom. He was sleeping on the bed. And he was basically waiting for me. I was watching TV last night, watching some movies, watching some sports. And I came in about 2 o'clock and one eye just kind of like meowed just a little bit in his little like chirpy little meow. And as I laid down, he kind of like crawled up on my chest and he laid down right on top of my chest. It was very sweet. And he kind of like enjoyed himself, purred a lot, then climbed on top of the pillows and slept for who knows how long, ended up sleeping the rest of the day with us. Now, that's rare. He used to do that all the time. He used to always sleep. But after I've been gone for so long, I guess he's forgotten how. But he went out this morning, and I saw him at about 2 o'clock, but he has still not come home for the evening. We actually, it's kind of cold out. You know, it's going to get down to 41. That's not ice cold, but we do like to see our cats inside if at all possible in the evenings. So Bruiser, he's sleeping right now in one of my footstools. I have these nice footstools that I use just to keep my feet up. And he's camping out on that. I know he's sleeping there for sure right now. And One Eye, who knows where One Eye is. But it's been a lot of fun with the cats. We have, you know, whenever we have chicken around the house, they are at the table waiting to be fed. They're very polite. They just put their palms up on the table, like, you know, on the edge of the table, not on the table, but on the edge of the table, kind of support themselves, peek over the top of the table saying, and of course they're talking a lot too, saying, come on, it's time to feed us. Give us some of that chicken type of thing. But it's a lot of fun, folks. If you've got pets, you know what I mean. And I've just really been enjoying being home, having time to spend with the cats and enjoying myself. And that again is the cat report for today. What is today again? January the 11th, 2018. Again, if you'd like to sponsor this segment of the cat report, it is available. And again, it comes with quite a lot of airplay. If you got another podcast or something you'd like to be promoting or something else, give us a shot, because, you know, we do reach a lot of people out there, and hey, give it a shot. And it's a lot of fun just to hear your name out there as the sponsor of really what is one of the more popular segments of Inside the Eye Live and Inside the Eye Live Primetime, and that's the Cat Report. So you can send me an email at thefetch@insidetheeyelive.com. Again, that's thefetch@insidetheeyelive.com. Now it is time for, and let me just try to get everything queued up here. It's time for the Oy Vey moment.
Oy Vey. Oy Gewalt. It's like another shower.
Oy Vey.
Oy Vey.
Oy Vey, everybody.
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on William Pierce.
Oy Vey!
Oy Vey, everybody!
The Oy Vey Moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Barnes Review at barnesreview.org. Order your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live Now link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
And this week's Oy Vey moment, first, before we start, we'd like to say that the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show is heard every day now. That's right, a new show every day of the year from 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern every day on eurofolkradio.com. That's eurofolk Eurofolkradio.com. So just go to Eurofolk Radio. Again, we've had a cross connection, cross promotions with them. I know they carried this show for a brief period of time and kind of helped promote it for a while there. That was very nice of them, and we appreciated their efforts there. But definitely give Andrew a call, a listen, and of course, all of his archives are available for free. That's right, for free. So just visit Andrew Carrington Hitch. Was it Andrew Carrington Hitchcock? Andrew, what is the website? Sorry, Andy. Where did you go here? Here you are. The website is Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. That is correct. AndrewCarringtonHitchcock.com. All right, this week's Oy Vey moment is coming to us. I had a hard time where I wanted to go with this, whether we're going to do the French or we wanted to go to the UK. And I think we're going to go to the UK. I'll just throw a coin here, a mythical coin, and it landed on the UK. And the story is coming from the Mail Online. It's actually from a former guest of ours, Alison Chablot. Alison Chablot is a 53-year-old artist. Now, we want to say this to those who say kill the boomers. You know, we hear a lot of that going out there, first of all, by people in the alt-right and those aligned with the troll networks, with the Daily Stormer and people like that. They like to go out and they say kill the boomers, kill the boomers. Now, of course, we know what's going on as boomers. We've been dealing with Jewish people for a lot longer than most of these other folks have, and we encourage everybody to stay motivated and involved. But look, here's a 53-year-old boomer, as they like to say in the alt-right here. And what she did is she mocked Anne Frank and Holocaust survivors in various songs. And this got out into the public and from her YouTube channel. She ended up having Jews calling various venues, getting her work canceled, getting her denied venues from which she would be able to practice her craft. So don't tell us that Jews are persecuted here, folks. They are the ones doing the persecution. Be very clear on this. Let's be very, very clear. So she uploaded these songs to her YouTube account. Now, Jews declared these things grossly offensive. Now, since when did Jews get off telling us, the public here, what is and is not, quote unquote, grossly offensive? And the music was played during the first day of her racism trial. This isn't a trial brought on by the state or the United Kingdom itself. This trial is what's known as a private prosecution, which means that we are paying to prosecute you. That's right. If I don't like what you say to me in the UK, if I can get certain things done and I pay for it, I can get you prosecuted just by paying for it. So what's happening is you have a lot of Jewish Israeli, same thing. And of course, it's UK Jews also. Money coming into the UK, it's going into the hands of rogue Jewish NGOs, and they are using this money to privately prosecute people who dare to criticize anything within the mythical construction of Jewish ideologies here. Now, Alison Chablot, again, she's 53. She's labeled the Holocaust as the Holo hoax in one song. Well, so what? It is a hoax. It is probably one of the most sinister, evil hoaxes ever perpetrated, and we are living the nightmare today. Now, you have a choice. You can stay silent in the face of a grotesque lie, or you can do something about it. And people like Alison Chablot used their talents in music, and they labeled it for what it is, a holo hoax. Folks, Auschwitz, okay, Auschwitz, it had swimming pools. I don't know if it had tennis courts, but it had swimming pools. It had operas. It had, guys, it was a work camp, 93,000 people died, and I think that was of Jewish origin, more than that. But I think 93,000 people died in the entire operation of Auschwitz. There were zero, quote-unquote, death camps within German territory. Do you know that? Every single one of the quote-unquote death camps came within
Jewish Soviet-controlled areas. Isn't that fascinating? The reality is that the Hola hoax has already been debunked in court some 30 years ago. But everybody, like, it's so convenient, they want to ignore it. None of the experts that were brought into trial some 30 years ago, and I forget the guy's name now, you would think I'm not an expert on the whole of, on revisionist history here, but it was debunked some 30 years ago already. But everybody wants to ignore the courts. They just want to keep bringing up more and more court cases to try to create precedents that are basically now being established via kangaroo courts. Now, what she did, got to give Allison some props here. She had one of her songs played in court yesterday, and she actually was singing along right as the song was going in court. And she described Auschwitz as a theme park. Well, it wasn't quite that, but, you know, it still was a pretty posh, by today's standards anyways, a pretty posh work camp. And before you go on and criticize people, folks, especially if you're in America, do you realize that there was, even though America was largely a German country and we had Germans here in America going all the way back to the 1600s, do you know that the Bolsheviks behind Frederick, behind Roosevelt managed to get the Alien and Sedition Act or something like that passed through, and Germans were also interned inside of the United States? Are you aware of that, that they were interning Germans here, even if their relatives went back to the 1600s? Are you aware of that? And how many of those people perished? Are you aware of the history here? See, it's time for us to start getting serious about this imposition of history upon us, because the entire political structure today is revolving around these historical fabrications. The whole war on terror crap is based upon this holy hoax idea, this responsibility to act that is basically saying we can attack anybody we want so long as we are, quote unquote, preventing another Holocaust. Is purely Jewish-driven ideology within the American foreign policy establishment, yet it all hails back to a firm belief in this type of Hola hoax history. If you don't start smashing the foundations upon which the current lies are being fabricated, you're not going to be able to deal with what you have to deal with moving forward. You have to attack the foundations. You have to chip away. You have to put a crack in it. Look, one of us alone can't do everything, but one person can put a serious crack in it. The next person coming along can make it maybe enlarge it a little bit more. And it's all like a dam. The truth is like a dam. First of all, when we throw the pebble into this dam, this body of water called the truth, it starts to resonate. It starts to vibrate. And the more truth that we keep pulling in and throwing out there, the more resonation is going to happen. The vibrations alone are going to crack this dam open regardless. But we must keep the vibrations going. That is the reason why Jews are saying to us, you can't question us. You have to listen to us like little baby children, and you just do what we tell you to do. And that's exactly how they're treating you. You got the children treating you as if you're even smaller children. Because they make buku bucks out of this, folks. Hundreds of millions and billions of dollars they're extorting from you, and they don't even have to work. All they got to do is make you keep believing this fairy tale, and you've got it. Now, Allison, she arrived at the courthouse. Again, she's 53. She was cheered on by well-wishers out in the public. She was holding some flowers, and she had posted this video on YouTube. And she was playing the guitar to a song she wrote entitled Survivor. And, of course, in Survivor, we put the echoes, which is the three parentheses on each side. Now, why? Again, you should start asking yourself, why is the Mail Online using such inflammatory language itself? Why, for instance, would you put inside of your newspaper article the or the provocative song. She mocks prominent Jewish figures. Well, why are you using this language? First of all, Elie Wiesenthal, whether he was a Nobel Peace Prize winner or not, he was a fraud, and everybody knows it. Anybody who is serious about dealing with history knows that Elie Wiesel was a fraud. Also, everybody who is serious about historical truth knows that Otto Frank, who wrote The Diaries of Anne Frank, is a fraud. It was written in a ballpoint pen. Come on, you guys. The ballpoint pen wasn't invented till the 50s, so how could it be The Diary of Anne Frank when he wrote it? See, this type of lying to us, of skewing the truth, of seeking sympathies from us that are simply unearned, it's a vile, disgusting, evil thing to be perpetrating. First of all, I was born in 1962. My interests and desires have nothing to do with some Jew walking along here pretending that the Holocaust should be my entire center of the universe. That's just plain stupid, okay? It is plain stupid that we are spending some 50% of our time sometimes teaching our kids about the Holocaust. That's just plain stupid, everybody. We need to be teaching our children to become much better citizens, better productive adults with a good, sound basis of knowledge, critical thinking, and skills that will propel them forward. We don't need them to be some slavish, brain-dead idiot serving a Jewish agenda here. And I know it's not easy raising kids nowadays. It was a lot easier when I was growing up, but this is something that we all must work together on. Now, the video, she actually originally put it on her blog, and it showed her performing a number of other songs she titled Nemo's Anti-Semitic Universe, and others. One was titled I Like the Story as It Is Satire to a group called the London Forum. And we've actually had them on the line also. In the song Survivor, the lyrics goes, "Was it just a bunch of lies? ? She says. Seems that some intend to pull the wool over our eyes. Eternal wandering liars haven't got a clue. And when it comes to usury, victims always me and you." Now, when you analyze this, not bad. Actually, Allison, those are very good words. Because at the end of the day, the real enemy of mankind has always been those who control the element of usury. The ability to create money out of thin air and charge you an interest for the fact that they have the right to do it, and then take all of your labor if you don't give back the money that they created out of thin air. This is one of the greatest frauds perpetrated on the American people, upon humanity at large. We still have not recovered from the great theft of 2008 when we had our financial crisis in the United States. We never recovered. She went on to describe in this song, Alison Chablow, she writes, Auschwitz as a theme park just for fools and the gassing zone a proven hoax. It actually is a proven hoax. That's not even serious anymore. Indoctrination rules. Well, that's very true. See, if you're indoctrinated into believing this, the problem is not us. The problem is you. You need to start to wake up, because the bigger game here is evil. And this evil does not care about you or me or anybody else at the end of the day. It cares only about perpetuating its blackness upon the face of the earth. That is the Oy Vey moment. Back with hour number two. Right after this, proudly is brought to you by Andrew Harrington, Chicago.com. Welcome back. It's The Fetch Inside the Eye live. Prime time for Thursday, January the 11th, 2018. Wow. Can you imagine 2018 already? Getting old, everybody. I believe I'm going to be on the Graham Hart Show this coming Monday. So if you haven't heard me and Graham work together, hey, we can have a lot of fun together. I was on his Christmas show. And I believe that was a pretty good show. I was having a hard time, quite frankly, hearing. And for whatever reason, I was dead tired. But I was on the Christmas show with him and Michael Goodrich, Frederick Blackburn from Blackbird 9 Trading Post. What else? Who else? Michael Walsh. No, Dennis Wise was there. And so that was quite a fun show. But we're going to try to do this again, rewind it and do it again this coming Monday. So if you're not familiar with the Graham Hart Show, what you want to do is check out grism.blogspot.com, which is where it's being broadcast through. Grism.blogspot.com was the original sponsor, quite frankly, of the Oy Vey moment going back to June of last year. And again, he is our official archiver over there at Grism, so they have access to everything, quite frankly. They manage the entire editing and uploading of our show, recording everything. So you got to always tip, if you can, also Zap Hopper over there at grism.blogspot.com, because, hey, he is the guy that actually makes all this happen. He makes us all sound good and be great because he edits it out for you. So if you haven't, or if you appreciate the archives, check out grism.blogspot.com. You know, if you go back to the history of the Internet, you know, the real history of the Internet, you know, it's grown by leaps and bounds. Obviously, the alt-right has come along and carried on messages, quite frankly, we were talking about years ago. And it's rather fascinating. But if you go check out grism.blogspot.com, we're kind of like, in many respects, the old guard. We were the ones that were the first doing what we do, speaking about what we speak about. And Grism was part of that development. Grism is like one of the key websites that aggregated a lot of this content, made it available to a lot of you, and then got it out there. And without that website, quite frankly, a lot of people wouldn't have gotten the same play that they got. We still would get our recognition. We're still going to do okay. But being affiliated, you know, the Internet is such an interesting dynamic world that you need to get the cross links going. You need to get the backlinks going. The only thing that really we believe prevents what Inside the Eye Live and Inside the Eye Live Primetime from really going big is the fact that we don't get the backlinks. We don't get people really backlinking to us to help promote our show. We have Heartland Online, which sponsors, of course, the Oy Vey Moment on Saturdays. We have Grism's and, you know, we're at Thomas Goodrich, but we're not linked to a whole lot of people out there. And that, of course, keeps our numbers down, but we're still doing okay type of thing, you know. But you just don't get the publicity. You just got to get that publicity out there, everybody. Without that, it's really, really hard to get yourself recognized out there. And, you know, again, try it. Go out there, do it. We encourage you to go make an audience. If they're listening to you, they're not listening to mainstream media, they're not getting indoctrinated on some Jewish program, they're not going to be partaking of this larger game called mind war that we often like to speak about. There's a big story coming out of the Middle East. If you hadn't heard about it, there was a swarm attack, and I had actually talked about this. Seriously, I talked about this some time ago. And what I had noticed is that whenever you would send a drone, some type of drone towards the Israeli side of the border here in the Middle East, the Israelis would go send up a Patriot missile system at about $1 million a missile and blow the darn thing up. And I remember a story coming out of the Marka or Mafraq Air Base here in Jordan. And this was back when King Hussein was still alive and he was building up his air force. There was some type of small drone type of attack here in the northern part of the kingdom around the Syrian border. And what they did is their air defense systems here locally in Jordan had got wind of it. And they used like $1 million missile and blew the thing. They did take the thing down. The missile worked. But King Hussein, he visited the event. Obviously, this is a major event to blow $1 million on a missile for a poor country like Jordan. That's a very big thing. So King Hussein, he goes out and he visits the airbase and he gets angry with the air defense guys. And he said, look, if it's a small threat like that, get in your airplane, you fly out, you check it out, and if you need to take it down, you just take it down. Don't be spending $1 million on a missile for something that you can easily take down with a couple bullets from your aircraft. And that story is kind of often told if around the old veterans of Muff Rock Air Base. They can probably confirm that for me. I think it's not a secret anymore. But when you look at the Israelis, they have basically the American Patriot missile system, which is a very expensive system. They've got some of their own. The Americans fund these lunatics over in Israel to the tune of like $800 million a year to build their missile defense system. And there was this attack, I don't know, last summer, and the Israelis, again, they fired off their Patriot missile system. And I'm like, you know what you should do is you should just start swarms. Send about 10, 12, 15 of these swarms at the Patriot missile system. And what that will do is that will cause the Israelis to burn up all their Patriot missiles. And then you could basically they would be defenseless. And then you could probably hit them pretty easily. I'm like, that's probably how you would attack something like this. Well, apparently somebody was listening to me. Now, I'm just joking, but apparently they were listening to me because somebody coming from the Turkish area, deep within Turkish-held Syrian territory, there was a drone attack of some 13 drones, and they were launched from, again, within Turkish-backed territory inside of Syria, and they had to fly close to 100 miles. And these drones, if you look at them, they're very crude. But let's be serious here. To build these things takes time. It takes effort. You would have to know how to engineer it. You'd have to know how to get the aerodynamics just right. You would have to do a lot of things to get this tested to make sure they actually fly, to get them integrated with GPS components, to get them integrated with munitions that are basically GPS guided. This is the story as the Russians are telling it. And they've basically not so much as accused the United States of helping, because there was a P-8, I believe, Poseidon, which is a spy plane that was basically circling for like 4 hours with between Tartus and the Hamayim or Kamayim air base that was actually targeted. Now, the Russians have a very robust robust air defense system. So they were able to bring like 6 of these drones down using radio communications. They basically hacked into the drones and made them land and harmless and land. So they were able to capture those intact. And then their Pantsir system, which is a much more robust, cost-effective, close-range air defense system, took down like 6 of them. So the Russians are saying, look, you know, who was able to do this? And so the Russians are looking at this whole scenario and they're saying, look, they haven't like outright gone out and talked and accused the Americans of doing it, but the Americans, you know, they never are they're never too slow to put their own foot in their mouths. They're saying, hey, this is just all commercially available anywhere. And the Russians say, oh, really? Well, why don't we have a sit down and have a discussion of where all this information is to actually build these things and actually get them flyable? They've hacked into the GPS systems that were located on this. They're saying, the Russians are saying, look, the GPS coordinate targeting here is not from any commercially available material. This is being fed to them from some military. Well, who would be doing that? They believe that perhaps now the Poseidon spy plane that was flying between the Kamayman and Tartus bases, which are Russian bases, was the one actually feeding the targeting information. So there's been a lot of questions and a lot of not so much confusion, but one of the things is they believe now that part of this came from the Ukraine, and they're saying that perhaps the Ukrainian people were behind that. But as you know, or you should know, and I know, as we should know, that the Ukrainians are a proxy state for the state of Israel. They are a proxy state of the United States. So it would be highly unlikely, if improbable, that this equipment would be able to get into a Turkish-held area without Turkey knowing about it, without the Americans knowing about it, and without the Israelis knowing about it. It would be highly unlikely that this could ever happen. See, the Israelis like to brag a lot. You know, they like to brag, like in Iran, their little uprising in Iran has already failed. Everybody knew it was going to fail. But the United States has made some big mistakes. And again, part of the problem with the United States is our government, our military, our CIA, our intelligence, our State Department, much of it has been too politicized. When you politicize various institutions, common sense is often thrown out the door. It would be like putting an extremist in charge of your battle tactics. You know, they don't really care about the results. They just are going to do what they want to do because, being extremists, they have their extreme way of viewing things, I guess might be a way to put it. But in many cases, not everywhere, but in many cases, we have a lot of extremists running our foreign policy. Most of these extremists we could actually track down to be in Israeli operatives. We need to major purge our State Department and our military and our FBI, etc. But we need a major purge of hostile Jewish agents operating within our countries. But you had Mossad, they went live this past week saying, you know, we have our assets everywhere in Iran. And I think they're just puffing, quite frankly, on this one. I think they're trying to make themselves out to be bigger and badder than they really are. And they're talking about how we've got our people everywhere in Iran. Quite frankly, I don't buy it. I think in this case, he went out and said it as a way to try to make a threat. This would be the director of the Mossad in Israel. And of course, in talking about Iran. But if Israel is so smart and they've got all this spying through their programs, through the electronic eavesdropping that they have, well, then they would have to know where that equipment came from also. So in many respects, we have a somewhat of an embarrassment for the Russians on this case. Look, you guys, Russia, you've declared that victory is won. Welcome back, everybody. Yay, yay, yay. Victory, 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 you know, all that fun stuff. But the war is not over, folks. Here we've got a victory. Then you have a massive swarm attack with drones on your air bases. Now, just maybe, and I'll kind of give you this, that this drone attack on the military bases in Russia are like a super minor kamikaze wave attack that the United States Navy had to deal with back during the Second World War. I guess we could look at it as something like that. But nonetheless, it is somewhat embarrassing for the Russians. But we'll have to see just what comes of it. And then we'll just have to see. News did come out here locally through the Turkish press agencies that Erdogan, who is the president of Turkey, and President Putin of Russia have met now to discuss various issues that are going on inside of Turkey. Now, the problem you have with reporting, and this is something that you should be very conscious of. By the way, we haven't even announced this today. You know what? Join us in the chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. You can click on the live chat button, and that will get you in the door. And also the telephone lines, they are open today, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314, and we will be happy to put you on the air. We got the new Skype loaded here. Again, I'll have to figure out how to work it, but give us a call. I'm sure we'll get it figured out. Now, there's a telephone call today between the Turkish president and the Russian president, and they discussed continuing efforts in and ongoings, I should say, inside of Syria. Now, here's how you can spot enemy reporting. Anytime you see a newspaper uses that goes and it uses the term regime, R-E-G-I-M-E. Anytime you see this phrase in the reporting, you're dealing with an unethical newspaper. You don't go out and call an elected government anywhere in the world a regime, typically, because you're now poisoning the article with your own preconceived ideas. Look, it's a government, period. That's like us calling the Netanyahu regime, because that's what it is, if you want to call it that, or the Trump regime. It is highly, you could call it even offensive. We have a call coming in. Let's see if I can take that. Answer the call. We'll place your call on hold. Okay, that means that the phones, everybody, are not set at the studio. And I don't know how to now disconnect that, so it's going to keep ringing in the background. All right, everybody, I think we're still live. Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. So unfortunately, I just can't get your call into the bridge here. So skip that whole idea here. Skip that whole idea. My mouse has stopped working on one of my laptops. All right, anyways, back to this story here. There's a particular nuclear plant, the Akuyu nuclear power plant, and the Turkish Stream projects. And both of these are highly strategic. Turk Stream is essentially a pipeline that is being put into play underneath the Black Sea, into Turkey, into Greece, and essentially will act as a hub to bypass Central Europe. And the reason why all of this has gone down is because everybody and their brother in the strategic gas business knows that the Americans, with their proxy oil companies or whatever you want to call them, have been trying to get competing pipelines from the Kazakhstans for, who knows, 20, 30 years, and perhaps that's what a lot of these wars initially were about. But it's not going to happen. Now they're looking at putting up a terminal in Poland. The Americans are supposed to now bring in their natural gas, sell it to the Poles, and that will be distributed along a pipeline that stretches north and south from Poland through Eastern Europe. Whether or not that actually works, we will actually have to see over time. They're going to certainly try to look into it and perhaps invest a lot of money into it. Now, we also have something coming up in Sochi on January 29th and 30th. It is known as it's not named yet, but it is a very high-level cooperation council meeting that's being set up here for Syria. There is a participation, an expected participation of some 1,700 people, and that would exclude terrorist groups. I'll assume perhaps even the Americans aren't even going to show. All sectors of the Syrian society are expected, though, to be represented there, except for a lot of these terrorist units that are working with the Americans and the British. And they say also the Saudis in some cases, and certainly, without a doubt, the Israelis. You know, there's reports now coming out, and a lot of you guys I know are very patriotic, and we appreciate that. We all should be, you know, looking for the best for our countries. And some of this gets vested emotionally into this idea of support the troops. There are stories starting to float out of the Middle East here about Americans and British soldiers, special operations forces, operating within camps set up by the Kurds, but they're wearing Kurdish uniforms, not even wearing their own uniforms. It's the Fetch, everybody. Inside the Eye Live, prime time. Back with more right after. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, prime time for Thursday, January the 11th, 2018. A good Thursday afternoon, everybody, on the West Coast out there in the United States. It's about 2:30 in the morning here locally in Amman, Jordan. And I don't know, the temperature should be about 45 degrees right now. Not so cold here in Amman as we speak. Quite frankly, it's kind of comfortable. They're saying earlier today that the Chuck Schumer audio did not play through. And so what we're going to try to do is we're going to play that audio again. It's just a 17-second clip. And this was Chuck Schumer speaking before a group of a group of Jewish people inside the United States. And you can't tell us then that Jews are 100% loyal to your country and our country when these are the types of words that are leaking out. So you don't hear these types of words very often. But here, have a listen to this. This was Chuck Schumer.
Because I know that that is something we all care about. Shomer Yisrael. It's one of the most important things I do, to watch, be the guardian of Israel. First and foremost.
See, there you go. Hopefully that played through. But basically what Chuck Schumer said there, of course, is that he is the guardian for Israel, first and foremost. Not working for the American people, everybody. Not at all. And don't think it is. Not even close. And we have brought this to your attention time and time again. We've been accused of being an anti-Semite. And quite frankly, we don't care. We believe at this stage of the game that if there really isn't enough anti-Semitism in this world. There needs to be a lot more. And we're going on record with that. Once again, anti-Semitism nowadays means just they don't like what you have to say. They don't want to be criticized. They don't want you to be able to have a political voice that runs counter to their Semitic agenda. Their agenda doesn't care about you. They don't care about your family. And it's time for you to wake up for that, get involved, and start to deal with reality as it exists, not as it has been proposed to you by these various Jewish groups. Join us again in the chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. Funny thing there, I don't know if you guys use your cell phones a lot to communicate. I do. I do a lot of instant messaging just because it's faster nowadays. I don't actually like it. To me, these long or lengthy chats take a lot longer than if you just make a phone call and finish. By the time you go back and forth and clarify what you're saying, just make the darn phone call. I hate long instant messages, but what I hate even more about instant messaging things on your phone is the phone decides sometimes that you didn't say something or you didn't spell something correctly, and it gives a word in the text that is not even what you had any intent on saying, and then you got to go back and correct yourself, and that is one of the most frustrating things I have ever had to deal with when we talk about phones. Guys, I don't know if you're familiar with Jordan, but Jordan, you know, we got a great wine growing area here. And for Christmas, I was very kind. Somebody sent me, it looks like wine. I can't even read this here. It looks like wine. But believe it or not, it's a wine, but it's coming from Algeria. I didn't know Algeria had a wine growing region. But it's, yeah, this is wine coming from Algeria. Is that kind of cool or what? So I got some Algerian wine here and not sure what it is even. It doesn't, I can't read. Vin de Algérie, wine of Algeria. Okay, that's kind of cool. And then a local wine here in Jordan, it's kind of popular. It's called St. George. Got it wrapped in a nice bow here. Whoever sent this to me for the holidays, thank you very much. I don't know who it was, but it's called St. George Zumot. It is a Cabernet Sauvignon 2009. All right, there you have it. So, guys, you know, we have some great wine-growing territory here in Amman, and we've got some actually pretty good wines. I don't know how it competes internationally. But to get some wine coming out of Algeria, I got to tell the girls here, look, don't drink this until I get a chance to try it. I don't know about you, but I'm a big fan of bacon. We have got a huge, I went out shopping this week. I bought like a pound of bacon. Cost me like something like $11, something like that. It's imported from the Ukraine, believe it or not. But it's still pretty darn good. You know, those Russians know how to make pretty good bacon. So I got a big block of Ukrainian bacon here. And that's the pork style, everybody. So I've been enjoying my vacation. You can obviously get this inside of Saudi Arabia. So if you don't know, Inside the Eye Live, Inside the Eye Live Primetime now, Folks, we are big on a couple things. One is our bacon. Two is our scotch. Whenever I'm in Jordan, I'm always going to grab myself some scotch, some bourbon, and some 7-Up. And I've pretty much finished now 1/5 of Black Label. Somebody has provided gifted me with 3/5 liters, really, of Black Label, and I'm about ready to finish or polish off one of those in 1 week here. I think I'm going to finish tomorrow if I'm lucky. I'll have a party here tomorrow. We'll have some singing and karaoke and a little bit of fun and good cheer, and then I'm going to go off to one of the guys that works with one of the former embassy staff members with one of the embassies here. He was at my party last week where we had about 70 guests for a birthday party. And he was the cameraman, so I'm going to go and pay him for his services and take all that digital files that he's got handy, and that's going to be kind of cool. So we're looking forward to a kind of a fun weekend. Then, of course, we'll be back at this on Saturday for Inside the Eye Live, Intelligent Media for the Politically Aware. Now, we are looking to line up some guests. We are not going to be here next week. Next Saturday, we have already lined up Brian Rue from The Brian Rue Show. He has agreed to take the show next week, so that's going to be a fun time. It'll be his first time doing a live show. Now, what Brian is famous for, really, is his YouTube channel, and he does a lot of YouTube work. And on that channel, I'm there. I've had some pretty successful shows there. He's kind of a good guy, revisionist historian type of guy, a Buddhist type of guy. He's an interesting character. And I think you're going to like him. He's going to do his first show live, I think. Normally he pre-records these, releases everything on YouTube. But this is going to be his, really a live show, first live show for him. So I'm looking forward to him coming on and enjoying that. Now, I got in the chat from Fetch, did you just say bacon? I just finished a late lunch of big slices of homebrew bacon with fresh eggs from my chickens. Eat your heart out. Well, you know what? Look, the bacon here is pretty darn good. Now, here's what I did do, Han. Han is in the chat room right now. You can join us at the chat room. Folks, we like to talk food from every now and then. And I've got tacos. You know what? I love my tacos, everybody. And what happened was I went and I've run out of corn tortillas. Now, what happens is generally I have people within the airline business who will fly in the corn tortillas, usually from Washington, D.C. And that person has not been going to Washington anymore. He's been stationed in Indonesia, so he's flying back and forth. Instead of Washington, D.C., he's flying back and forth to Indonesia. So I've lost my connection to Washington, D.C. and the wonderful flour or corn tortilla. So what happened is I was going into the local Safeway here, and the Safeway had this thing. It said tortilla de maíz, you know, it's a Jordanian product, but I'm looking at the pictures and I'm thinking this is not a corn tortilla, but at least I'll give it a try. Folks, it wasn't a corn tortilla. It was basically a flour tortilla using corn flour instead of actual corn tortillas. So I kind of lost out on that, but I made some really nice tacos tonight. If I just had some good tortillas, I would really be able to have enjoyed my tacos tonight because, quite frankly, the ingredients were great. You know, we got some great avocados, everybody. If you're not familiar with Palestine, from time to time, when Jews aren't busy blowing things up, and that's usually every day, you know, but when they're not busy blowing things up, we're often, from time to time, again, because they do blow things up a lot and disrupt supplies, but we get some avocados from Palestine. And Palestinian avocados can be very, very, very delicious, very tasty. And I got lucky this week, and a fresh group of a crop, I don't know what you want to call it, came from Palestine. And I was able to get some really, really nice avocados. I have been eating to my heart's content some guacamole. And a lot of this, folks, if you've never tried it, it is just absolutely fantastic. I love my guacamole. I found some nice corn tortillas at the latest French Carrefour operation. The price was cheap enough, so I bought those. And it is all well and good, folks, here on the food front in Amman. And I should be here basically another week, and then I'll be heading back into Saudi Arabia. I don't know if you're familiar with the UK. We have a big audience in the UK. And they have been trying to do this Brexit deal. I'm not sure what the problem is with the UK government. Look, you guys have voted on it. The people said, get us out. And you still haven't done it yet. And you keep talking, you talk, and you talk, and you talk. And then you've got this thing with your National Health Service, the NHS. And the NHS is essentially the UK's socialized medical system. And they're saying here that, look, at one of their hospitals, Walsall Healthcare's Hospitals, and apparently this is a chain, said that every single bed was full on every day last week. Every single bed. And the latest NHS England figures reveal that every general and acute bed across the trust was recorded as being full. And that is the worst performance in the UK ever. They are talking about an occupancy of 99.9% to 98.5%. 98.5% to 99.9%. Now, in many cases, that's a good thing to be in business and have 99.9% of your occupancy locked up. But apparently, in the hospital business, that doesn't leave a whole lot of space for new cases, obviously. So across England, more than 5,000 ambulances, get this, this is how stupid this Jewish-run government of the UK really is. 5,000 ambulances waited more than an hour outside various hospitals last week, and that's 1 in 20 arrivals and beds were 95% full. Dr. Taj Hassan, he sounds very British, doesn't he? President of the Royal College of Emergency Medicine said the figures, along with others showing A&E, saw their worst ever four-hour performance in December. And emergency departments, they say, are just under pressure, but in themselves a state of emergency. So you look at all the names floated in this. You have Dr. Taj Hassan. You have Dr. Chaad Nagpal. Let's see if they give me any other names here, but I don't see any British names here. Now, if you can imagine, on New Year's Day through January the 7th, there were 5,082 ambulances being delayed by more than an hour when transferring patients to A&E across, I don't know what A is, something in emergency, I guess, across England. That's up 7.4% from last year, where there was 4,734 ambulances awaiting. Ambulance transfers were less likely to take more than 30 minutes than during the same period in 2017, when 18,381 transfers took more than 30 minutes. Folks, I don't know what to say about the UK. You know, they're busy cracking down on people like Alison Chablot. They have all this money to chase anti-Semites, but they don't have the time or the wherewithal or the brains to even manage their own healthcare system. And that is something I've never really quite understood about places that are so insanely politically correct. They generally put too much effort into chasing down political thought crime than they actually do into preparing their nations to better handle the future requirements of the nation. I've got my cat outside, folks. One eye. I told you one eye was missing. Not missing, but he hadn't come home yet. But right now I can actually hear him screaming outside, and the girls are sleeping here. And I'm going to try to finish the show. So one eye is going to have to wait another 20 minutes or so for me to finish the show. One eye, hang on, buddy. I'll be there in a few minutes. You know, in the United States, you know, the main business of the United States, generally they say, is war. And that means weapons of war. And that means equipment that goes into making war. But that's not going to stop the United States from continuing to make war, I guess, right? Since that seems to be their biggest business. Now, a key U.S. senator, he is the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee in the United States. He said today that progress was being made on legislation to give Congress more control over the U.S. fight against militant groups in Iraq, Syria, and elsewhere. Now, here's what we don't understand from these American morons running the United States government. The reality is if you just get out, the national governments in place now can more than handle the situations inside of their own countries. So Senator Bob Corker, who is a representative, a Republican from Tennessee, we have to really say, what's up with you, dude? Why don't you get your guys out of there? You're running your deficits. You don't need to be there. Nobody trusts you. It's clear you're playing a game only for the Israeli government. But as we heard earlier, if it came through, look, are you, Mr. Corker, looking out for Israel and Israel first? See, that's what it appears to really be here. You know, they talk about September 11th. Folks, look, September 11th was such an obvious fraudulent job. It was so inside. Come on, you look at the Solomon building falling in its own tracks. I mean, falling in its own footprint. Give us a freaking break, you morons. To me, the government here is so dishonest, so duplicitous. Come on, guys. But you know what? That just tells us how corrupted and sinister various elements of our governments are in the West. There's no other explanation for it. I hear about the FBI is too politicized. What do you mean it's too politicized? When wasn't it politicized? They talk about how the FBI needs more resources to do its job. Folks, they can't even do whatever they're trying to do now, unless it just cover everything up all the time. You know, I was watching the Jason Bourne series. You know, I used to like the Jason Bourne series. But, you know, you look at the mentality. If you assume that some of the reality and thinking of people in government leak into movies, you know, the paranoia, the stupidity of those in the intelligence committee or community, you have to just wonder where or just how deep this arrogance goes, how deep this stupidity goes. These guys, sometimes you got to wonder what's going on through their heads. And that includes when they come to making war. Now, in October, President Trump's top national security aides pushed back against congressional calls for a new, I don't know what this is. What is the AUMF? Saying it would be a mistake to impose geographic or time limits on the campaign. I don't know what this something. What is AUMF, folks? What is AUMF? Authorization for the Use of Military Force. That's probably what it means. Yeah, Authorization for the Use of Military Force, or AUMF. See, presidents, they want to be able to just go on indefinitely. Well, look, you've been going on for 22 years and you basically accomplished nothing. Seriously, you've accomplished nothing. Now, under the Constitution of the United States, Congress, not the president, has the right to authorize war. But presidents continue to use this AUMF, this authorization for the use of military force. So one of the things that should be done is obviously we should get this stopped, because we need to pull our troops back out of harm's way and let these nations over here handle their own problems. And we should deal with our real enemies, which would really be people like Israel. That would be a much smarter way for the American people to go here. The Israelis are a huge problem for the United States. let's see, what else is here? You know, Sweden, we're not sure what's going on with Sweden. But they're like, you know, you've got gang raping children. You've got men gang raping boys in Sweden. And then the judges are refusing to deport the teens who gang rape the child because it's going to violate their civil rights. Well, if you can't like start to take names of who these enemies of you are and who's the problem, well, then I don't know what's going to happen. Switzerland is rejecting citizenship bids of residents who have been on welfare. In other words, if you come to Switzerland and you are, quote unquote, a refugee and you go onto welfare and you do not have work, well, they are rejecting your citizenship. Well, let me explain. In the Middle East, there's no such thing as you getting citizenship here. To get even apply for a Jordanian passport, I think you have to be here for 10 years. You have to get a government agency or a government member of parliament to actually write a recommendation to their immigration department before they would even consider giving you a Jordanian passport. And Jordan has something like three different levels of passports depending on your pecking order within the Jordanian society here. So there's no reason for Sweden to ever, or Switzerland to ever, or America to ever grant citizenship to anybody. The rights of franchise, the right to vote, should be maintained by the original citizens of the nation through a legal process of immigration here. And that is something that should have been established, and we should actually, quite frankly, cut it off 20 years ago after we saw the agenda to flood our nations. But here in Switzerland, new regulations will now make it impossible. That's right, impossible for asylum seekers and migrants who have lived off state handouts in the last 3 years to become citizens, even if they have lived in Switzerland as permanent residents for the required time to make a citizenship application. See, this is what you need to do, folks. You don't hand money over to immigrants and migrants and then give them the franchise to basically then vote you out of power. How stupid do you have to be? Think about it. How stupid do you have to be? Now, there are, of course, language requirements in Switzerland. And there are other things of, I think they're using the common framework, common European framework of reference for languages, which means you have to speak at a B1, B2 level. I don't know if that's English or a local language. Usually that's English, but I'm not sure. So even though Switzerland is not a member of the European Union, asylum seekers, again, have attempted to flood into that country also through the Italian border. And while many have used Switzerland as a transit country to reach Germany, others have remained in Switzerland. So there are various cantons now in cantons and cities. I guess cantons are like counties. And Switzerland have attempted to push back against the tide of migrants by making it less appealing for them to come to the country. Late last year, the city of Zurich voted to dramatically cut benefits to failed asylum seekers who are in so-called F status, in which they cannot be deported. So basically, you can come, but you are not going to become a citizen there. And, you know, I don't know, like, I don't know if about a year ago, you even had a left-wing politician there was arrested for trafficking in migrants. And then another story just came out in Germany. You know, you can be anti-German. You can speak against the German people. You can commit crimes against the German people. And you will be protected by the German state. Now, the German state is an occupied government. But if you dare speak out against Jews, you're going to find yourself getting deported. Let that sink in. Welcome again, everybody. Thanks for listening to Inside the Eye Live Primetime. See you all Saturday for Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically. Thanks again.